join us. First, I want to say happy Father to all the fathers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fathers, what I need you to do is come up close. I don't want y'all back there. I don't want y'all back there studying too hard. So come on. Hey, if y'all don't mind, it would be really helpful if y'all come up and be in there. Amen. As you want to hang with the child, understand me. If not, come up close, we'll be there. Not a whole lot of y'all. Amen. Got Amen. We got JJ and Daniel. Just because y'all be father one day, you got word. I'll give y'all a word in advance. Amen. All right, let's get into the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 28. First John chapter 2, verse 28. Amen. Now, if the storm comes too much and the lights go off, don't y'all worry about it. I'm just going to keep on preaching.
Amen.
With the emergency lights come on, keep on going. Amen. Now, we're going to read verses in chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3.
Alright.
I think it's my Bible. Alright, I'm reading out a new King James today. Alright. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. Everybody, it looks like. It reads, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure."
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We want to continue our series today from the First Epistle of John, Living Love, Experiencing the Joy of an Intimate Fellowship with God. And I don't know how many of you remember song. I think it was back in the 60s, 70s, something like that. In the 60s or 70s. So a lot of y'all probably are too young. But there was a song by the Temptations. And the Temptation song was named "Papa Was a Rolling Stone." If you remember that, the first few words said, "Wherever he laid his hat." Oh, y'all know something about that. And when he died, all he left us was. Boy, y'all know Temptation, man. Y'all know about it. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about papas who are rolling home. I don't want to talk about papa who was a rolling stone. I want to talk about papas who are rolling home. Because there's no papa as powerful as a papa who is rolling home. Amen. Let's see if I can see that in this text here. Help you see where I'm coming from. In verse 28, and now this is John the elderly apostle. He's the oldest. He lived longer than all the other apostles. He's probably in his 80s or 90s now, and all the other apostles have been martyred, killed for their belief, and John is the only one left. And John is talking to us in the book of John about fellowship. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember fellowship? We have a relationship, but fellowship is different from a relationship because it has an intimacy with it, a greater knowing in it. Look at verse 24. It says, therefore, verse 28, it says, now, little children, abide. That's the key word. Abide, A-B-I-D. Now, John uses this word more than anybody else in the Bible. I think out of 100, and I think it's used about 112 times. And then John uses this word about 60 some odd times. And he uses it, I think, 27 times in the first epistle of John. That word abide means to be at home.
Right.
To remain, to continue. It had to do with an intimate fellowship where there's sharing. All those things have to do with abiding. The best picture that John gives us of abiding, as you know, I've been talking about lately, is the picture of a limb in a tree. And then he talks about John, this same John talks about in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. He talks about if you abide, my Father is the husband, my divine dresser, and I'm like the true vine, and you are branches. And if the branch abide in the true vine, it's fruitful. Because of that connection it got. It's that intimate connection where it draws because there is something that comes from the root through the tree and goes into the fruit. And we call it sap. It's mostly made of water, but it also has nutrients and hormones that feed and produce the fruit. Amen. So it's important. And unless the vine... the branch abides in the vine, it can't get the nutrients, the watering, and the hormone that it needs to do what God has put it here to do.
Amen.
So, it's like that with us. It's like that with us all. So, that abiding idea, that at-home idea, that just as the branch is at home in the vine. So, when I say... Papas who are rolling home. I want to talk about that in two different scenarios. First, I want to talk about a papa who is rolling home to God.
All right. Okay.
Because you can't be the papa you God put you here to be unless you first roll home to God.
Right.
And then after you roll home to God, secondly, papa, you got to roll home to your family.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not talking about the papa with the rolling stone. I'm talking about papa who are rolling home.
Yes, sir.
Because they're a more powerful papa.
Amen.
He has more impact.
Amen.
But before you can really do what you need to do at home, when you're rolling home, I want you to roll home. But before you can do what you need to do at home, first I need you to roll home to God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Have an intimate relationship with God. And listen to what he said. When you have this intimate relationship where you and God hang out a lot. You and God talk a lot. You and the God chop things up.
All right, right.
The Bible speaks to you. You pray back to God. You see his involvement in your life, the way things are turning out. And you wonder why, okay, I didn't think this was going to happen for me. But seems like God has worked it out. And you know what God, because it didn't seem like it was for you. It didn't seem like you were qualified for this opening.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was going to work out for you, but you talked to God about it. Now he done worked that out for you. So now you know, yeah, I say, yeah, work God, I see what you're doing. But it's a daily thing. It's daily spending time in the presence of God where you're sharing with him and he's sharing with you through his word, through his spirit, speaking to you on the inside, and there's a great awareness of God, and there's a joy and an intimacy. Now, let me explain intimacy another way. Intimacy is going beyond the first page. When you're intimate with somebody, you go beyond their first page.
All right.
One of the problems with promiscuity, you get used to stopping at the first page.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, sure. Come on now.
That's real.
Amen. Come on.
Because you're rolling, you know, you're rolling. You're not rolling home. You're rolling. You just keep rolling. You're unsettled. There's no settling in you. So you're never able, you're so moving, you never get to go past the first page. So you never know things, persons, deeply. When you're intimate with God, you got to go past the first page.
Because
God's got volumes.
Amen.
God is so deep and has so many volumes, it's going to take us all of eternity to really get to know him. So when you're intimate with God, you go past the first page of Scripture. You're learning more and more about him through Scripture and through what he's doing in your life, how he's connecting the dots in your life, you know. And you talk to him, and he already knows you. He knows all your pages.
Right.
Because he wrote them.
Yeah.
He knows pages about you that you have. You don't know you got. He already knows your last page.
Right.
And you don't know. So he knows the way. So there's an intimate connection. And the thing about God, the more pages you read, the more you love him.
Yeah.
The more great he becomes to you. Mm-hmm. The more, you see how powerful he is, how wonderful he is, how magnificent he is, how glorious he is. The more pages, you just want to keep on reading. You know, sometimes it's like that with books. You get in a good book.
That's good.
And next thing you know, you don't read the whole book.
Yeah.
Because it interests you. You're learning the things you're learning. If it's a biography or an autobiography, you're learning so much about a person and that person's an interest. And you're learning about them. And you see things. And sometimes you see things that you admire.
Right.
You say, I think I want to be like that.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you have an intimate relationship with God. You start turning those pages and you see something about God that you really admire. You see something about God that just blows your way.
I
want to be like that. And that's what he wanted you to get. Because he said, I wanted you to be like that. Mm-hmm. You've been trying now. But I tell you, just because you want to be like that, don't think you can be like that on your own.
Come on now, that's real. Oh.
In order for you to be like that, I have to empower you.
Yeah.
With my spirit to be like that.
Yeah.
You say, oh God, I want to love like that. I want to be kind like that. I want to have that kind of joy. I want to have that kind of peace. You say, oh, you can have it. I want to have that kind of self-control. I want to have that kind of hope. He says, you can have it. But in order to have it, you got to abide in the vine.
Yeah.
Because I got to give it to you. You can't get it on your own.
Yeah, right.
You got to get it from the sap that comes from me.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't get the sap that comes from me, you're going to be dried up branch.
Right.
Useless.
Right.
You're going to be useless for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Hey, man, you get God. He ain't going to be able to use you because you don't have the fruit that you need to have to be used by God. Now, in the first verse 28, verse 29, after talking about abiding, it's talking about when Christ comes back. And it says, listen, if you hang out with God a lot, if you talk to God a lot, if you've been reading all of God's pages, getting to know God, that when you come back, you're going to have some confidence. People that abide in him won't be nervous about his coming back.
Right.
That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. We read those verses to make sure. We don't care. Now let's hear about him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. At his coming. Why we in the same cup? We've been hanging out with him all the time.
Right.
We know him. And not only do we know him, but when we were going through his page, we saw some things, and we said, God, I want to be like you. God, I want to be like you in this way. And God, I want to be like you in this way. And God, I want to be, and God's been empowering us to be like him in all those ways. So you just can't. And you know, when you are victorious, when he's moving in your life and you're asking him for things, he's empowering you to be those things, you want him to see you succeed. It's like a parent. It's like a parent when you have a good report card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your report card ain't that great, you know, when I didn't get great report card, you know, some people in here, I'm not mentioning no name, you can change their grades on their report card. Before they got to the house. But because you know you didn't have a good, you know you had to go home to your parents.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a confidence in your safety. Going home to your parents with them bad grades. So you have changed the grade every year. But when you made good grades, oh, you couldn't wait to get on. Oh, I got that. You got to spend that 80. You running on.
Yeah.
You know, you had D and a C minus and a D plus and an X where you ought to have a check on conduct.
Yeah.
And you going home like this, slow as you can, head down. Oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. And you praying to God more than ever. Amen. Because you ain't got the confidence. You know, Lord, what's going to happen when I get there? But when you have experienced the victory because you saw something when you're reading God's pages and you wanted to be like, and now he's enabled you to move toward that virtue.
My Lord.
I want him to see. I want him to see how well I'm doing. I can't, you wait for him to come back. Because you know how I got confidence. It's not, I'm coming back, God, hey, it's not me that did it, you did it, and I want to tell it. It wasn't me. You did it.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it.
I tried to do it before I knew you, and I didn't mess it up.
Come on now.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. It's like that third that doesn't help you. You know you weren't doing too good. You had the D minuses. F plus,
All right.
F plus, they want to do something. They want to make you feel a little bit better. You front plus. I don't know. If you got F plus, you might be going further down.
Yeah.
But that parent helped you, or that tutor, whoever helped you, when you bring those grades up, especially when you bring on A and B, you can't wait for them to see.
Right.
That's how it ought to be with a believer as he looks forward to Christ's coming. You know you're not perfect, but you know he done made an amazing difference in your life.
My Lord, my Lord.
And then John goes on to say in verse 29 that when you have this abiding thing going on, in verse 29 he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Righteous, that's what you saw. You saw how, because righteousness is God behaving like God. That's what righteousness is. God behaving like God. And you saw God, I'm like God. I like God how you do things. I like God how you look. I like God how you work things together like that. I like how you care about people that don't nobody else care about. I like the people that others push out and push to the side and make feel small. You come alongside them and you use them, you make them the heroes of the story. Everybody said they weren't going to be no hero. But you, I like that about you, God. That you take people to outcast and make them heroes. And when you see that, that's righteous. That's right. So you said, hey, when we see that, and we say, God, I want to be like that, that righteousness that we saw becomes part of us. The only reason why we can do that, matter of fact, the only reason why, because you know, you can reach, sometimes, if you're not a believer, this will happen. If you're not a believer, follow Christ, you'll never understand God. Because it's not like when you open a book, and the book is not in the language that you understand.
Right. That's true.
It's like open the book here today and say this book was all Hebrew. You hear this? Okay. I don't care who the person who wrote that book to you, you wouldn't be able to understand anything about that book because it wasn't a language that you understood.
Right.
But what happened when you get saved, when God rescues you from your sin, when you know him, there's something called regeneration, being born again. God lets you start over. It's just like, even though you don't come out of your mother's womb, but it's just like he changes you on the inside.
Right.
Now the book that you couldn't read before you was a believer, now you can read.
Right. Yeah.
That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night.
Right.
Y'all remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? And Nicodemus asked him, man, you know, such and such. He said, wait a minute, Nicodemus. You can't even see the kingdom. You can't even read the book until you get born again. Amen. You can't. Something happens when you're born again. Things come to life that you, church, you didn't like it used to be before you were.
Right.
You can be in the same seat.
Right.
But once you get saved, church, you didn't like it well before you got saved.
That's real.
There's a greatest awareness. When you're not saved, it's like trying to watch a Netflix and you ain't got no Wi-Fi.
That was good, Pastor.
You ain't gonna get nothing. Oh, come on, man. You ain't got no Wi-Fi and all you see is no connection. Before you come to Jesus, amen. Sometimes you at church, but there's no connection. The choir is singing, and you see everybody moving and worshiping, but you know what's going on, but you ain't got no connection. The pastor is preaching the word of God, and some people being moved, but I can't understand what he's saying. You ain't got no connection. You need to get the right Wi-Fi. I don't call this thing Wi-Fi. I call this thing glorified. When you get glorified in your mind, and you look at that, and you hear the choir singing, they glorifying the Lord.
Yeah.
When you hear the power preaching, the pastor preaching, they glorifying him.
Yeah.
Even the thing that people do in church, because you got glorified. Get you some glorified.
That's real.
Then you can understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You can understand folks that are testifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You can understand what folks running. Why are they running around the church? Yeah. Ain't nobody out there for the church. They just running around.
Yeah.
That's
what we do.
Yeah.
But when you got glorified, y'all understand.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead. I understand. And when God been good to you, sometimes you just can't change it.
Yeah.
You can't change it. Why they crying? It ain't nobody's fault. They got glorified.
Yeah.
And then when the choir was singing, it's all in the words of the song.
Yeah.
And they know how good God's doing. Yeah. And they're glorified.
Yeah.
It's true. That's real.
So when you get born again, you got to glorify. And you can understand. Nicodemus, even now you can understand. Once Nicodemus got that glorified and Jesus died, whoa, wait a minute. I got to go get him. I got to go get his body. Nicodemus had that glory, but he understood things and saw things that nobody else saw, but God was working his life for salvation. If he wasn't already saved, he might have not been to the point where he wanted to share it with nobody yet, because he saw what happened to Jesus. But he wasn't the same. So, the rebirth makes a difference in your life. You begin to see things that you didn't see before. You can understand things that you didn't understand before. You can love like you never loved before. And you can obey like you never obeyed. That's right. So he said, John said, see, the righteousness that comes from Christ, his spirit living in you, when we see it, we know it came from God. Because can't nobody else change a life like that.
Amen. Yeah.
Can't nobody else give you the ability to live like you live. It's just because sometimes you'll be trying to hide it. I mean, maybe you're not trying to hide it, but you ain't like, you know, talking about it. You just kind of around. And then somebody will notice something about you. Because people do me like that. I'll be trying to, you know, low key, blend in. And then somebody say, ain't you a priest? I ain't told nobody I was a preacher. Man, he talk that much. I ain't got my Bible with me, got a cross on.
All right.
Sometimes things that come from just oral and only other believers can see.
Right.
You don't have to. I think that's one of us.
Yeah.
I think that's one of us, right?
Yeah.
They ain't told me yet, but you just know.
Yeah.
That's by how they smile, how they treat people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They got that righteousness that comes from God. They've been born again.
Yeah.
They're not just churchgoers.
Right. Right.
They've been born again. Yeah. It's a difference between going to church and being born again. It's a difference between going to church and being radically changed.
Yes. Amen.
And having a desire to live for him and being empowered to live for him and motivated by love to live for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. So that's what John said. John said, first, once you got that abiding thing going on you, sharing with God, spending time with God, reading God's page, God reads, I already know your page, y'all hanging out together. You see some great things about God you want to be like. He gives you the power to be like. And the first thing is, you get the righteousness which comes from regeneration. That's the first point. You get the righteousness that comes from. That's the only way this righteousness can come from, is regeneration. It gives you the ability to live for him. People see something different about you. They see God in you. They see the reflection of his glory in your life. Mm-hmm. Secondly, look at what he said. This is a good verse. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Somebody might say, what manner of love he had bestowed on us. This I want to talk about after you look at, when you, I'm talking about hanging out with you, what happened when you hang out with First thing you get is a righteousness that comes from regeneration. Second, you get lavish. I mean, he just pouring out.
Yeah.
The guy said, behold, man, come here. You know, like when you see something great. You look at YouTube and you see something great. You want to go, come see this shop. Come see this shop. I'll come see this stuff and somebody does something extraordinary. And you're trying to summon them because you want them to enjoy the extraordinary thing that you saw. So that's what John is doing. John says, what the? I come here. I want to show you something extraordinary and wonderful and marvelous. I want to show you how God loves.
Yeah.
Oh, God, every time I think about that. The God of the universe.
Yes.
I'm talking about the one that created billions of galaxies with one word. He's a big God. But that big God knows my name.
Yeah.
Love that. I'm talking about he knows me. The one that was rejected when he was born.
Amen.
When I was born in Parkland Hospital. On my birth certificate, it said Parkland Hospital in the color. They want to let you know. I was born in the color section. I wasn't born in the white one. They want to make sure you weren't part of us. They say, hey, you're not good enough because of the color of your skin to be in. So I want to make sure you know your place. On the birth certificate, it says. But the same little old boy that was born in Parkland Hospital in the color section, the God of the universe created billions of galaxies, knows my name.
Yeah.
What manner of love is this? That God would care about that little boy so much that he'd be willing to die on Calvary's cross so that he could be saved. What manner of love is this?
Come on now.
And as you go through the pages about God, you see how much he loves us. I made so many mistakes. I failed so many times.
But it's vital.
I thought I'd overcome it. Sometimes I think I thought overcome me. How can you still love?
Jesus. That's real.
What matter of love is this? Still loves me. What a God. What a God. He's still blessing me.
Yeah.
Even if you know how we say, even though we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
He said, keep on.
Yeah.
Blessing me. Yeah. Keep on waking me up.
Yes.
Keep on putting food on the table.
Yeah,
God. Oh, God, how can I ever deserve? So, I want to say that like God said, behold, how God has lavished his love upon us that we can be called children of God.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. You get your identity from him.
Right.
When you know you're a child of God, you don't care what folks say.
Come on now.
It might bother when you ain't thinking you really, he takes something to you. You ain't thinking, but then I'm just, wait a minute, but just about 5 seconds, I'm just, wait a minute.
Hold on.
You don't know me.
Yeah.
You don't know my dad. You don't know I'm a child of God.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a child of the one that created business of galaxies, the one who started the universe with the word of his mouth, the one who takes care of the one that died for me. You don't know me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you define me.
Right.
Amen.
I'm not going to let you label me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You just can't go in the store and label stuff. Amen. If you want a product, you can't just go in and write Prada on that. Hey, amen. You just can't go in and get you a, go in and pay that, get your a titties and put a check on them and say they're Nike. Them not no Nike. Because you ain't got, amen. The only person that can put the check on them to make them real is Nike. The only person that can label a thing is the one that made the thing. The only one that can label forward with that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be a child of God.
That's good.
And some people, they'll say you're not valuable, you're not worthy. Yeah. They'll try to make you feel small and cute.
Yeah.
Don't let, because you're valuable. You're so valuable that Jesus died for you.
Yes, he did.
Jesus paid more for you than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
He paid more for you than money can buy.
Yeah.
That's how valuable you are. That God's Son, who is God, also gave his life for you. Don't let people, when they're trying to bully you and say crazy stuff about you, and God will say a bunch of nonsense, make you feel bad about you, who you are. You got to know who you are.
Yeah.
So what, I don't care what y'all say. I know.
Amen.
You told me I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
And all that other stuff that they say to you, you just take it on in. He said, okay. I hear what you said. When you get a chance, you go get your piece of paper. You write what they say. Yeah. A little overweight. Don't have much hair. Got an old car. All right. What you do, you put that in the envelope. And then you put on that envelope, return to sender, because it don't belong to me. Oh, I wish I had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all sent that to the wrong address.
Yeah.
Because if it was mine, it should say, I'm a child. If it got child God on it, then you can send it to my address.
Amen.
Righteousness that comes from regeneration when you get born again, get saved, and he rescues you from your sin because he died on the cross and makes you a new person. That's the righteousness you get comes from regeneration, being born again. And you hang out with him, you see something good about him, and you say, I want to be like that, and he empowers you to be like that. Secondly, he lavishes your love. So you can be called a child of God. And thirdly, it says, when you're looking for him to come, you purify yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Yeah.
I'm not pure yet.
Right.
Anybody here pure? Mm-hmm. If I want to be pure, I'm going to say, hey, everybody got way yet. But it said we purify. It's a process.
Yeah.
There's a perfecting. Right. See, we're not perfect, but we're being perfected. God is dealing with us in our lives.
Yes,
he's pruning us.
Yes,
Lord. Ooh, I wish I had a witness.
Yes, Lord.
But that's what he's talking about. You know, that's what he's talking about. When he talked about in John chapter 15, bearing fruit, bearing more fruit, and bearing much fruit, he was talking about being perfected.
Yeah.
There's a growth process going on. I'm not at my destination yet, but I'm heading in the right direction.
Amen.
Oh, I was happy with you.
Yeah.
That's what perfecting. He's perfecting me. I'm not perfect yet. I'm blunders, make blunders, do crazy stuff sometimes. I go to him and say, Lord, I'm a blunder.
Yeah.
I'm messed up again.
And
I don't deserve again, but your son died for me. He died for me. I'm so glad. Thank you for dying. So now I get a new story. Can you empower me not to make the same mistake?
My Lord.
Each day with me, you got to trust it. And I got to hang out with him, and he helps me. He helps me not to make the same mistakes. Oh, I said, okay. Thank you. You won't be sinless, but you're sinless.
Yeah.
I told you, you may not. When you first came to Jesus, you might have been cursing. Maybe. I'm 37 times a day. Well, week from then, you might cut it down about 15 times. You keep, but if you keep hanging out close with him, you keep hanging out close. Amen. Pretty soon you get down one or two times. And then sometimes you keep hanging out with, and sometimes you might think, I can't remember last time I church. Did I see it? No, it don't Don't push me, I'm close. I can't remember how. Yeah. God has been so good, he's been holding me back. Thank you, Lord, for holding me back. Thank you, Lord. I used to have one fight a week. But now I'm down a couple of years.
You can't overcome it.
God will bless you and you'll see some progress.
Amen.
I ain't there yet. But it says, and the reason why you want to make progress is because it's getting close. It's because it's coming back again. And you get close to report court time. See, you know, at the first part of the 6 weeks, you kind of just playing around. But then they say, you know, we have report cards going to come out in about 3 months. Oh, Lord. I need to get four. Oh, God, my mama. Oh, the time is over. I don't know, I ain't got no time. Your friend called, I don't have the time to do that today. I got work to do.
No.
She already told me. I'm behind. Why? Because you want to be ready.
Right.
Time. If you employ you on the job, and then you know time for your evaluation is coming, you've been all. You get evaluated all six months, and you get evaluated. So first 3 months, you gotta get that when I get there. Yeah, you gotta get that when I get there. No. You know what I mean? I'm going to have evaluations about a month. You come in. Now you're 30 minutes early. You there for a supervisor there. Yeah, I'm going to worry about it. I've been here. You got all your work done. Desk is clean. Polite. It's my pleasure to help you. It's just a joy to be at work. You're encouraging everybody.
Yeah.
Why? Because you get ready for your evaluation. You get ready for the report card. So you're on your best behavior.
That's good.
So as we get closer to Jesus coming back,
we're
on our best behavior. He said we begin to purify ourselves because he's coming back one day. And I want him to be pleased with me.
Right.
I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's coming. He's coming back. So you begin to purify yourself. Now, he doesn't tell you when he's coming.
Right.
Because if he told us when he would come, we'd have waited about a month or so. He said, Jesus, I'm coming back 2019 October.
Okay, so
I'm going to go back to the end of August. September 1st, so it was the best. I'm going to be at church every time. I'm going to pray 5 times a day. I'm going to start tithing. Y'all see what I'm saying? But that's why he don't tell us when he comes, because he wants us to live like that all the time.
Right.
He wants you to live like that all the time. He wants you to, think he's coming. No, he said, you got to be ready.
Yeah.
I may come back. I may break the sky any day.
Yeah.
You got to live like I'm coming back. He might be coming back today. You got to live like he's coming back today.
Right.
So some stuff that's not in your life. But you never know. Right. If he's coming, it's going to be like a drug test. You don't know when to come.
Right.
One day they tell you, they need to see you in the office. You can't go to the restroom. You can't go. You got to go to the office because they need to see you in the office.
Yeah.
And if you've been messing up, you don't lost your job.
Right. That's real. Been there.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus will come back any time. And you ought to, and the thing about it to me, it's a better life. It's, I enjoy living to find more than one.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It's a joy. So, I want to substitute something. Let me move on. All right, that was the part. Said you got the roll papa. You got to roll home to God. But not only after you roll home to God, you got to roll home to your family. Let me read you this little quote here. For the guy. Now some of this even I'm talking to the guy and the papa, a lot of this, about 80% of this stuff is transportable. Can work for you and anybody in here.
Amen.
Look what it says. This boy named Zadik Amaya says, no man should tout he's the head of his house when he is rallied there to help make it a home. Y'all get that? I'm the head of my house. But you rallied there to make it a home. Guys, I'm not trying to be, I'm trying to challenge you. I know y'all agree. Try to, if you're going to be head of your house, how can you be head of a body in your head? You got to be, your head got to be on the body. You can be head of the house, you can be in the house. I feel like if you had a president, and the president was in America. He never did come to America. He was always in Egypt. Then I'm president. What did he come home? You president of America, why do you stay in Egypt? Don't y'all think that. I know y'all think that. One we got now need to stay in here. I know y'all are thinking that in y'all mind. Y'all wrong for that. Y'all, I'll be ashamed of y'all's head. Come home to your family. Now listen here. When you come home, when you roll home, because you're not a rolling stone. Believers, if you believe you don't need to be a rolling stone, you need to roll home. Roll home. Go home. Now I know sometimes there are seasons. For people that work where they have to do a little overtime. There are seasons. But you try to make that season short as possible. Don't have that season be prolonged year to year. Try to make those seasons short. Amen. If you're needed at home. Your child. See, let me say it like this. I was going to get some t-shirts for the man because the women got books. I wasn't going to get books for the man. That didn't seem like a good idea. I want to get this t-shirt. The t-shirt says, good dads learn from the best dad. The best dad being God. Good dads, our good fathers learn from the best father. Amen. So now once you know the real father, what we want to do now is take what God has given you. When you were hanging out with God, He gave something to you. His self came into you. Now, you need to take that home to your family and to your children. So when He talked to you, now you need to go home. See, the first part of being home, you got to talk to your children. Not at them. But you got to talk to them. So that's where you open their pages.
It's true.
You can't read the pages by talking at them. You can only read the pages by talking with them. Because when you're talking at them, it's only going one way. They're reading your page. May not be the best page, but you're not getting any of their pages back.
Right.
There has to be a sharing where each of you are reading each other's pages.
Right.
I see what you're saying. You don't have to agree with it, but you need to already know about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You need to know. So you got to spend some time talking with them, learning about them, learning about what's their favorite this or that. so you can shop for them. Mm-hmm. Can you shop for your job? Do you know what size they want? What color they like?
All right.
Their preferences. Have you took time to get past the first page?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get past the first page. Understand them more. Mm-hmm. And for them to understand you. Because when you told you should, you read one of their pages, they'll read one of your pages. You read one of their pages, they read. So, and then something. What you, and as you read their pages, sometimes you'll see what a wonderful son or daughter you have. Mm-hmm. Because you never took time to read their pages before. But as you talk, you read their pages and share. And you laugh, and you see how awesome your child is.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And you are able to affirm them. And affirmation is good.
Amen.
Affirmation is good. I was reading, I got it here, this book this week. One of the books I read this week was by Jason Wilson. And Jason Wilson, he's a great writer. And he was talking about when he was playing football. His dad was kind of strange. He was playing football. Because one day, he kind of felt kind of inferior because of his smallness. So he told his mom to give him some big shoulder pads. Make him look big. He's kind of small. They want to look big. Give me something big. I want some. He playing wide receiver. He got linebacker shoulder pads on. He had some linebacker shoulder pads on, playing wide receiver. But he said he was catching most of the day, going out, catching, all right, doing good, blocking good, because I don't have a big shoulder pads on. He was blocking good and catching good. And then he was coming back and said he was feeling good. And he called the last play. It's like a winning play for him. He said the quarterback went back, he went on the right play. He went out long, he saw the ball for him, he said, look at that, daddy had it wrapped up. And that ball hit the big shoulder pad. Wow! And it saw his daddy. And his daddy never did come to him again. But it just so happened that he was at this game. And he walked up to him after the game. And listen to what the dad said. The dad says, I heard you miss the last pass. He hung his head. He said he didn't think about it when the church said, he thought about him bad, but he needed some affirmation. Because all the teammates were down on him. And sometimes this world hits you hard with the blows it throws. This world hits you from every angle. It's traumatic. And when the world hits you so hard, what every young woman, what every young man needs is a corner man.
It's true.
You need somebody in your corner. When he blew it, and everybody was, his team was upset with him, the fans were upset with him, he needed a corner man that would affirm him. It should have been at least one person. If nobody else affirmed him, it should have been one person there to affirm him. He never needed to come to our game. And he come to one game. And he pointed out the worst thing he could point out. He was thinking about it a few years later. He said he didn't point out the great block they were saying I was blocking. He didn't point out all the other catches that I had made. And then he realized what his daddy had said. Because he didn't catch it at first. His daddy said, I heard.
Yeah.
His daddy didn't even get there in time to see this. He said, I heard you missed the last play. Dad, you wasn't even on time. The game was over when you got there. That kicked him out shit. You can't say something good. But he didn't need nobody else to criticize. He needed somebody in his corner.
Yes. Yeah.
So talk. Affirm them. Try to find them. They're going to do some things that's not good, but try to find way more good than you do bad. Try to do about 10, 15 good than every bad. Where they feel affirmed and valued. Second, that's a little quicker. Not only do you have to talk to them, but you got to take time. A lot of times that's how children are. A lot of us spell kind of love. We don't spell love L-O-V-E, but we spell T-I-M-E. If you love me, you'll take time for me. Because the same dad, he wondered one day when he was graduating from the 8th grade to the 9th grade. And he asked the daddy to come. And the daddy said, I'll come when you have a real graduate.
Yes, sir.
Because he had other things to do. Seemed like to him, his daddy's agenda was always more important than the child. Don't let your agenda always be more important than your child.
Amen. That's right.
You gotta make room. You gotta make room. You need to be there sometimes. You need to be there. Sometimes they're more important than overtime. I know you need overtime. I know it's hard to make ends meet, but sometimes they need you more than that. You need to show them how special they are. You need to be there as many special occasions as you can. If they have a play, if they have a game, if they have whatever they have, you need to try to get there. Because they need a corner man. What's going to happen if they mess up? Who's going to be there in their corner? Who's going to be there and carry them? That's your responsibility in carrying them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ought to be able to look at you and every time they ought to know. You ought to be so reliable. Right. Yeah. Every time they have something, they know you're going to be somewhere in the state.
Right. Yeah.
They know the only way you're not going to make a sense. It has to be something really. They had to be almost ready to fire you. Because you know what I'm saying? If it was any way mom or daddy could have been there, they'd have been
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's real.
Because he never had time for the boy, but he always had time for the boy to leave.
Yeah.
They always make time for the boy to leave, but daddy didn't have time for the boy. What's more important, the bowling leaves or the bar? Give up the bowling leaves and go with the bar.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes your agenda had to take second place.
That's real.
Because they need you. Yeah. They need your time. Time being very important. They're tired of feeling like second class citizens because of the way you treat them.
Right.
God don't treat you like that.
Amen.
When you pray to God, he says, well, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. Come back a little later. He listens to you. He show up. Amen. He show up for you on time. He's an on time God.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Time. Talk. And lastly, trust. Can they trust you? They can't. In order for them to trust you, you got to show them some consistency.
Right.
Your belief, what you say you believe, has to match your behavior.
Right.
Especially if you believe. If they see you in the church, always talking about what you believe. I believe this. I believe this by God. I love God. God is wonderful. I praise God. You give me a testimony. And then they see you with the same breath that you're talking about God, talking about their mama like you.
All right.
There's an inconsistency.
Yeah.
Same thing all the way around the mama.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
They see you from and you doing the holy dance and all that. And then when you come home, you talking about their daddy like.
That's real.
They need to see some consistency.
That's real.
They got to be able to trust you. So they don't want to see this duplicity. Dad,
right.
One thing now. That's why it's so important to be sober, Dad.
Amen.
You need sobriety.
Amen.
Because if Dad is not sober, you can't trust him when he comes home.
Right.
You don't know which Dad is coming home.
Right.
Is good Dad coming home or bad Dad?
Yeah.
You know what, if he was good Dad, most times, 99% of the time, he's good. You wait till the door and have him come home. But if you don't know who's coming home, you got to kind of look around and call him.
Yeah.
Yeah. See how he look tonight. Think I'm going to my room. Think I'm going to the room tonight. You look like you look wobbly tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to my room. Amen. Because you grow up, when you grow up with that kind of dad, it's like walking on eggshells. Because you never know when they're going to lose.
Yeah. Amen.
So you just try to stay out of the way. So if they lose it, they won't lose it on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and help us to be better dads. You got to balance rules with relationships. You got to have rules, and you got to have relationship. If you got rules and no relationship, you get rebellion.
That's real. That's true.
If you got relationship and no rules, you get riotousness.
Right.
Child out of control. You need both rules and relationship.
That's real.
It's relationship that make rules work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They obey the rule because they love you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If there's no love, they may obey the rules when you're present.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
But they won't
obey
them when you're absent.
Yeah. My Lord.
Let me close this out. But they're going to need to be able to rely on being loved. Just like God lavishly loves us, that's the same kind of way we ought to love our children. Lavishly. Just pour it out. Don't hold back. Pour it out. Pour it out. So somebody said, behold. Just like you said about God. Somebody said, behold. Look at this daddy. Look at the way they. Hey, but don't you want somebody to say, look at this, man. Look at this.
Yeah.
Behold. Now, I want to say this, I'm coming to a close. I know some of us here that didn't have those kind of dad. Some of us have that probably the rolling stone kind of dad. Wherever he later had was at home. When he died, all he left was a home. Daddy wasn't much on thinking. Spent most of the time chasing women and drinking. That's the kind of dad we had. But I'm trying to tell you, if you had that kind of dad, still, you have a responsibility to respect the position.
Mm-hmm.
And respect the position. But the thing you need to do is say, I'm not going to be that kind of dad.
Right.
The one that bought me, he was that kind of dad, but I'm not going to be. And even if your girl said, hey, my dad, he had some kind of, maybe he was acting out his wound and this, he wasn't what I needed him to be. But as a parent, if God allows me to be a parent, I'm going to be better than this.
Right.
But I'm not going to let that cycle continue.
That's real, right? That's real. That's real.
Because I'm going to be a great man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You got to decide that. Amen. Because you're not responsible for your dad's. Your dad is responsible for his own self.
Yeah.
But you are responsible for you.
Right.
So don't let what your dad or your mama or whoever did, don't let them affect you and how you live for God. I'm going to live for God anyway.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's good.
When you come rolling home, take time with them. Talk to them. Make them able to trust you.
Yeah.
I trust you. Because if they don't trust you, See, what you're doing, you take what you get from God when you hung out with God. And then when you hang out with them, you get that with him.
Right.
You hung out with God, you got some great stuff. Oh, I got some great stuff. I got to share this with my family. And then you take it and you give it to them. If you don't hang out with God, you risk something, you don't have nothing to give.
Nothing to give.
If you don't know God, something, you don't have nothing to give. But when you hang out with God, let me, I got God has lavished all the love on me. Woo, God has given me so much love. And I just feel wonderful. See, when you God love you, it makes you feel wonderful. You say, you know what? Now I'm going to take this love that God has gave me, made me feel wonderful. I'm going to take this love home. And make my wife, son, and daughter be one. Take what God give you and give it to them. I want to say, whether you're a dad here or whether you're a son without a dad, like me, oh, dad wasn't living up to what they're supposed to be. He said, hey, God, if you ever let me be a dad, I just want to be better. I'm not going to hold it down. I know you said, I'm forgiving my dad, but ways he done messed up. But God, I want to be the kind of dad that you need me to be. Don't let me hold that in, because if I hold it in me, it'll chain me to him.
Absolutely.
And I want to break the chain.
Yeah.
So I can be a better person. And I love him, and I keep praying for him that one day he'll go home to you. Because I know that's the problem. He doesn't go home to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep praying for him that one day he'll go home to you. Because I know if he come home to you, you can change him.
Yes, you can. Thank you, God.
Yes, sir.
And I love him. You know him. He does what he does. But he's my dad.
Jesus.
It breaks my heart, but I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. So, can you help my dad? Can you help my mom? Can you help that person that hurts me? The real power to transform our communities is in the dad who goes rolling home.
Amen.
Just a musician. He's gonna come. Papa. Papas who are rolling home. Thank you. Thank you. Keep rolling home. Roll home to God. And then when you get what God got for you, roll home to your family. Spread out. He's a wonderful God. One thing I like about this, one day we're going to see him, and we shall be like him.